Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 2024, the 24th of Adar Bet 5784, coming to you today from beautiful Gush Etzion, the hills of Judea, just south of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the State of Israel and the Jewish people. Hope you are well. Hope you are safe in your part of the world. Let's get right to it. Ramadan. Ramadan, the holiday of peace and tranquility and self-reflection and all of that. Well, not here in Israel. Israel, it is used as an excuse. It is used as motivation to carry out terrorist attacks. And we're seeing attacks nearly around the clock throughout Israel. Just last night, 4 Israeli police officers injured in a terror ramming close to the community of Kochav Yair in central Israel. According to Magen David Adom emergency medics, they treated several victims at the scene. One of them seriously hurt, another moderately wounded, and the other two lightly wounded. The officers had been operating a makeshift checkpoint geared towards catching car thieves, according to police, when an Arab terrorist rammed his car into them and then got out of his car and tried to stab the security guards at this checkpoint here, who responded by fatally shooting him. Kochav Yair is right next to the separation barrier, if you will, between Israel and Judea and Samaria. So you had that attack in Kochav Yair. Again, holiday of peace, right? Earlier yesterday, or rather on Monday night, late Monday night, an attack in Gan Yavne, which is near Ashdod. You had 3 Israelis who were wounded in a stabbing attack. An Arab terrorist from Hebron made his way to Gan Yavne and, using 2 knives, started stabbing people at a mall. Again, 2 people seriously wounded, 1 fighting for his life, and a 3rd person moderately wounded. And remember, when we talk about moderately wounded, you're talking about life-altering injuries, okay? When you say moderate, if somebody is injured and loses a leg, God forbid, that is considered a moderate wound because it's not life-threatening per se. That's what we're talking about. So when you say 2 seriously, 1 moderately, the 2 seriously are in really, really bad shape, and the moderately wounded person is also in bad shape as well. Earlier on Monday, an Israeli soldier was injured in Be'er Sheva by a terrorist from the community of Rahat, from the city of Rahat in southern Israel, a Bedouin town there. So within 48 hours, by the way, in all 3 cases, the terrorists were killed in Gan Yavne, Be'er Sheva, and in Kochav Yair. So all within 48 hours. And these are just like the major attacks. I'm not even talking about the rock throwing and the firebombs and everything else going on throughout Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem and whatnot. And this just in, Arab terrorists attempted to lynch a Jewish shepherd near Beit Yatir in the southern Hebron Hills yesterday on Tuesday, moderately wounding him. Remember that word moderately. It's a serious injury. This reported by JNS, according to the Rescuers Without Borders organization. Yedidia Talia of the Talia Farm was hit in the head by one of the rocks thrown by a group of 8 Arab rioters, terrorists, I would call them. The farmer managed to call security forces to the scene while trying to protect his body and his flock at the same time. Israel Defense Force troops administered first aid and evacuated Talia to the hospital for further treatment, according to Rescuers Without Borders. In this attack, by the way, by definition, I wrote about this in JNS last week. By definition, the UN will call this attack by Arab terrorists against a Jew, they'll call this settler violence. They will label this as settler violence. That's how they work. I'm not even kidding. Attacks by Arabs against Jews are called settler violence, according to their scorecard. But of course, this will not be condemned, since so-called settlers, Jews of Judea and Samaria, in their view, are evil. And these Jews probably deserved it, right? Or this Jewish farmer deserved it, just basically for being alive. And that's the kind of world, unfortunately, we are living in today. It's a sick world out there, folks. Israel's not alone, okay? Don't get me wrong. We do have friends out there, but there are definitely a lot of haters out there. And you'll see this attack be labeled as so-called settler violence when a Jew is moderately, which is still serious in my book, seriously wounded by a group of Arab terrorists near Hebron, the ancient Jewish town of Hebron. And that is what's going on this Ramadan, and it's been going on for many, many Ramadans, and perhaps even more so now because of the war in Gaza, where Israel was attacked, and yet somehow Israel's the bad guy throughout the world. And we'll get into that a little bit later. I guess we'll get into that now, because what is probably top story around the world right now, which is still in the news every news cycle, is the fact that Israel made a mistake and the IDF struck this convoy of World Central Kitchen aid workers on Monday. So, reported by JNS, the head of the IDF yesterday issued an apology, an official apology, for the accidental killing of seven of these World Central Kitchen aid workers. He said, "I want to be very clear, the strike was not carried out with the intention of harming the workers. It was a mistake. It was a misidentification. It happened at night. It happened during a war. Complex conditions." This according to IDF Chief of Staff General Herzi Halevi in an English video message posted to social media. So Israel apologized, said it's a mistake. Let's recognize we're in the middle of a war. Mistakes do happen. And let me tell you a similar story from 2021. Here's the headline. I think this is from CNN. U.S. military admits to killing 10 civilians and targeting the wrong vehicle in Kabul in a Kabul airstrike. Do you remember when this happened? This is September 2021. 10 people killed, civilians, seven of them children. And the question is, did the world go crazy against the United States? Did the world go crazy against President Biden after this? And the answer is no. The world did not go crazy. It made maybe one news cycle. And a spokesperson for the White House said the following. He said, quote, "In a dynamic, high-threat environment, the commanders on the ground had appropriate authority, had reasonable certainty the target was valid. But our conclusion is innocent civilians were killed. They made a mistake, and mistakes happen in war. But with this incident, when the U.S. did this, seven children dead, barely a peep from the international community and the so-called phony human rights groups who let this story go on for one news cycle, and that's it. But with Israel making a similar mistake, the world is up in arms. The world is going crazy. Countless news cycles. And the bottom line is here is we are talking about hypocrisy, because if it's no Jews, no news. The story from the U.S. in Kabul, one news cycle. And when it comes to Israel, acknowledging that it made a mistake, opening an investigation, all of that does no good in the eyes of the haters out there. The world obsession with Israel continues. And somehow still, even after October the 7th, or especially because of October the 7th, Israel is the bad guy. Makes absolutely no sense. But that is the reality. That is what's going on out there, folks. So if you have a voice, use it. Use it for Israel. Use it to share the truth. use it to expose the haters and the lies, and, you know, spend 5 minutes on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, and you can see the countless number of lies and the haters out there. Do what you can to make a difference. Moving on here, this is a very personal story here. My friend Ari Fold was murdered. It's been almost 5 years, I believe, at the Gush Etzion Junction. Died a hero, even though he was stabbed by an Arab terrorist. He was able to neutralize the terrorist and save other lives there at the Gush Etzion Junction. It was around Yom Kippur, I remember. This from JNS News. The U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia ordered on Thursday, that Iran and Syria pay $191 million for complicity in the murder of Ari Fold. May God avenge his blood. An American Israeli killed by Hamas terrorists in 2018. So it was actually almost 6 years ago. Royce Lamberth, a senior judge and former chief judge on the court, held that Fold's estate and surviving family members are entitled to damages due to Iran and Syria's roles as state sponsors of Hamas terrorism. Richard Heidemann, who actually I know personally, senior counsel at Heidemann, Nudelman, and Kalik, which represented Fold's estate and most of his family members in the suit, told JNS that the $191 million in damages is intended to compensate for the suffering of the Fold family, but also to send a signal to Hamas's sponsors. And though the attack took place in Israel, the U.S. court was able to find Iran and Syria responsible due to a combination of U.S. laws, which strip sovereign immunity from designated state sponsors of terrorism in certain circumstances. So again, I don't know if the Fold family, whom I know personally, will ever see a dollar here, even though they are due $191 million, and certainly won't bring Ari, may God avenge his blood, back. But either way, it does send a message. It sends a message to these countries. It sends a message that terrorism will not be tolerated. It is a just decision in this court. And certainly an important ruling. But again, it's not about the money. It's about exposing the criminality and the brutal terrorism which is sponsored by these countries. And that is why, by the way, that is why, moving on to our next story here, that is why Israel has to take the action it does in this country and throughout the Middle East. And I'm talking about it's not official, but according to Times of Israel here, a strike widely attributed to Israel that demolished Tehran's consulate in Damascus and killed 7 people, including 2 generals from Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is a U.S. designated terrorist organization. So this happened just the other day. And Israel took out these senior terrorists. And ironically, by the way, I think it's Russia that's trying to, maybe they've already done so, trying to bring Israel to the Security Council to condemn Israel over the strike. And the haters, the anti-Israel haters, are out in full force against this strike, even though Israel removed just a little bit of evil from the world by taking out these 7 people, including these top generals from a terrorist organization. Somehow the UN has time to talk about this and ignores all the anti-Semitism and anti-Jewish sentiment and anti-Israel violence which takes place. And Iran, of course, saying that they are going to respond to the strike. Iranian's president was in a meeting with some senior security officials from that country, no further details. They blamed Israel for it and said the cowardly crime, quote, cowardly crime will not go unanswered. So here you have an organization, a terrorist organization, Iran, that's really what they are, the head of the octopus, carrying out terrorism all over the world. And then when Israel fights against terrorism, their response is, we're going to carry out more terrorism to punish you for fighting against terrorism. So it's a lose-lose, right? But for them, it's just an excuse to carry out more attacks, their so-called response, as if it's justified, anything that they may or may not do. But we must stay vigilant. Jews around the world must stay vigilant, because who knows what Iran is going to do in response to this. This was certainly a justified strike on senior terrorists. And again, Israel not taking credit. It looks apparent that Israel was behind it. I can't speak for the government on that. Anyway, turning to local politics here, Israeli officials from across the political spectrum on Wednesday, today, criticized last night's anti-government demonstration in Jerusalem, in which protesters, I would call them anarchists, called to burn down the country and attempted to storm Prime Minister Netanyahu's official residence. So whether you like the Prime Minister or don't like the Prime Minister, attempts to storm the residence, burn down the country, calls for that, are illegal. That's illegal. Okay, this is beyond, according to the Israel security chief, the Shin Bet head, Ronen Bar, he said in a rare warning reported here by JNS, he said that what happened was beyond acceptable protest, and even a war cabinet member, Benny Gantz, who's not in the same political party as Netanyahu, said that this we cannot accept violence from any side. We cannot accept people ignoring police instructions and breaking through barriers. But this is, you know, who's behind all of this is former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who was a speaker at one of these rallies, or at the rally last night, and has been a speaker at rallies in the past against the government. But he is encouraging anarchy. He's not encouraging change in the appropriate channels. He says, my message is elections now. That's what he claims. But then he goes and he leads these rallies where anarchists say they're going to burn down the country. This is Ehud Barak, and he is inciting to violence. And it looks like he's getting away with it. Because he's not being, is he being questioned? I don't know. Is he being stopped? Are people, the police approaching him? I don't know. Doesn't look like it. I don't see it anywhere. But he is inciting to violence and hate and anarchy, and it's completely unacceptable. And if it was the other way around, if it was a right-wing crowd saying the same things, then certainly there would be a hard crackdown on all those involved. So you have some hypocrisy here as well, but completely unacceptable from a former prime minister to try to lead a revolution in the state of Israel. Did we not learn anything? Did he not learn anything from the state of affairs before October 7th, when everyone was at each other's throats here in Israel? Now, in the midst of a war, we're trying to defeat Hamas, and we have to worry about an internal group of people who want to burn the country to the ground. And then they go and they're recruiting families who have hostages in Gaza, recruiting them to get involved in these anti-government rallies as well. And again, the families of the hostages have every right to express themselves and express what they believe is the right thing to do, Israel making a deal or whatnot. That's the families. Okay? But the others, burn down the country, all this other stuff, absolutely unacceptable. I'm not saying that the families of the hostages can say things like that, but in terms of their demands from the government, that's one thing. But everyone else out there has to realize what we're talking about. And if we're talking about a deal which involves releasing more terrorists, you know how many terrorists Israel has killed now in Gaza who were released in the Gilad Shalit deal? Remember, it was Gilad Shalit for 1,027 evil terrorists, and many of them had to be rearrested or killed because they returned to terrorism. So my issue is not with the families. My issues are with those who are encouraging the families to join, not rallies to release the hostages, but rallies with anarchists by their sides to take down this government. And that to me is just wrong, unacceptable. And it's almost like they're using these families, which is pretty sick, in order to overthrow the government. One last item here, which exposes again the hypocrisy of the world. The PA, the Palestinian Authority, has officially revived its application to become a full member state at the UN, according to a letter from its UN envoy dated Tuesday. This was reported by Times of Israel. The PA has had observer status since 2012, has been lobbying for years to gain full membership, which would amount to recognition of Palestinian statehood. In a letter to UN Secretary Antonio Guterres, who, by the way, should resign for his behavior against Israel, the PA's UN envoy requested, upon instructions of the PA leadership, that an application dating back to 2011 be reconsidered this month by the Security Council. I would not be surprised if this makes it to the Security Council. Will the U.S. once again abstain and let a bad resolution pass, or will the U.S. veto giving the PA full membership status at the UN, essentially another step towards statehood? Well, that remains to be seen, but I would not be surprised if this goes through. Somehow these international bodies are rewarding the Arabs under the PA and Hamas for October 7th. That's what membership would be. It would be a reward for October 7th, lead to giving them a state. And this whole thing has been just turned around completely. But really, what do you expect when you have a Biden administration focused on phony reports of violence by Jews based on their geography? You have an administration that doesn't veto anti-Israel resolutions at the Security Council. When you have an administration that talks about a PA state day and night, and I'm singling out the Biden administration, I mean, they are the leaders of the free world over there, the United States, and this is their leaders. It's not a reflection on the American people. Let's be clear. American people support Israel, no doubt about it. But when they are focused on all of these things, when they're focused on trying to prevent Israel from going into Rafah and finishing Hamas, when their only focus is on the so-called civilians, very loose term, civilians in Gaza, this is what you get. These are the types of stories, news stories that you get. They want to take Israel to the Security Council for taking out terrorists in Damascus. They want to give the PA official status at the UN. All of these things, it's all related, folks. It's all related. And it took a massacre against Israel on October 7th, to push all these things along. It's absolutely maddening, but that is the reality. Either way, I am here in Gush Etzion, Israel. It is a beautiful day. I hear building outside my window. They're building a roads, a road, roads. They're widening the roads here for more traffic, for more cars, for more Jews to come home. That's what's going on. That's the reality. The birds are chirping. It's crazy. There's a war going on 50, 60 kilometers away. And here, the birds are chirping in the state of Israel. We'll overcome. We will get through this. We will win the war. If necessary, we'll win two wars. If it becomes an official war in the north, as they're firing rockets just now, 16 minutes ago, firing more rockets in the Upper Galilee, the terrorists from Hezbollah. We are strong, we are vibrant, and we will overcome despite all of the odds against us, as they have been for 75 plus years. And that's going to do it for today. My name is Josh Haston. This has been another edition of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Shout out to Tabitha Epstein for everything she does behind the scenes. Ben Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Get in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Get involved in the show. Listen to all the programming offered here on the Land of Israel Network. That's going to do it from beautiful Gush Etzion, just south of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the State of Israel and the Jewish people. Continue to pray for our soldiers, pray for our hostages, pray for the welfare of the State of Israel. Have a great week, everybody.